me as we go on our scripture lesson today. It's a story many of us are very familiar with that still rings true for all of us today. From the book of Matthew, chapter 14, verses 13 through 21, I'm reading from the New International Version. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them, and he healed their sick. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." "We only have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish," they answered. "Bring them here to me," he said. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to the heavens, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up the 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides women and children. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Morning, church. See you today. Don't you wish you had a cinctured alb with a stole on today? Yeah. We should have had a talk before we dressed. You guys were. Oh, goodness. So, my friends, this morning we continue our sermon series on compassion. And today, I want to talk about the pull that pain has on our lives, but also how, through grace, we can transform that pain into power for compassion, power for compassion. Now, one thing we all know, that pain is difficult to ignore. It demands to be responded to, doesn't it? Ever stub your toe?
Of course,
yeah. Slam a finger in a car door, yowee, that hurts, doesn't it? Yep. But of course, there are other forms of pain that are even greater in our lives. And certainly we all have our experiences, we all have our stories with that. Pain can be demanding. You know, as someone 60 years old now, I'm mindful that whenever someone about this age, or maybe a little older, gets to have a conversation with another person of the same age, we all know where that conversation eventually winds up, right? We're talking about our aches and our pains, that back, that hip, whatever it might be that's bothering us. Of course, we also know that it's not just physical pain that hurts and harms us and demands our attention, but we know that emotional pain does that as well. Those fears that hold us so tight, the losses that can break our hearts, the failures that, where we get disappointed with ourselves, even the fairness, the unfairness that angers us, all of that is pain that demands to be hurt as well. Suffice to say that to be human is to hurt. The Buddha said life is suffering, and by that he meant that life is gone awry, and because of that, we suffer in this life. No one is immune to pain. But what we do with that pain, how we understand it and make our way through it, really can make all the difference. And today we say that compassion is the key in making that difference. Pain has a pull. Compassion has a response. Teacher and writer Henry Nouwen speaks to this saying, "Compassion asks us to go where it hurts, to enter into the places of pain, to share in brokenness and fear, confusion, anguish. Compassion means full immersion in the experience of being human." I like the way that Nouwen names both the work and challenge of being human and being compassionate human beings. But I am especially drawn to that line, compassion asks us to go where it hurts. Compassion asks us to go where it hurts. And I want to focus on that today. And I want to focus on how that's true for ourselves as well as for others. You see, this is what I believe, that before we can respond well to the pain that others have in their lives, we need to be able to respond well to the pain that we carry within ourselves, and as well to be compassionate to ourselves also. Often the greatest hindrance to feeling another's pain is the weight of pain in our own life, in our own lives, that is holding us down. In my sermon a couple weeks ago, I alluded to the great commandment, loving God with everything you got and loving neighbor as yourself, right? And the golden rule, we talked about that too, doing unto others as you would do unto yourself. And I think many of us, though, are not always good at loving ourselves well. And even worse, acknowledging the pain that we do carry in our lives. Owning that pain and allowing that pain to go when it needs to go. Now, I'm not trying to organize a big pity party here this morning, but I do think it's paradoxical that we do talk freely about our physical aches and pains, right? But we do struggle to talk about our feeling hurts. Many of us were taught this is weak, you know. Weak and whiny, that we just need to get on and get over it. But pain is pain, and it doesn't go away just because we don't want to deal with it. And some pain, you know, it's been with us a long time. Some of it is more recent. But unless we recognize that and try to understand that pain and find ways to work through it, that it does continue to plague us and will even find its own outlets for release that sometimes aren't so healthy for us. To love self, to be passionate and compassionate towards self, is to acknowledge our own suffering and in time harness that pain into the power of compassion. A week ago, Debbie and I took part in the Walk Out of Darkness, that happened here in Traverse City, a national walk happening around the country a couple weeks ago in conjunction with Suicide Awareness Week. And it's sponsored by the National Foundation for the Prevention of Suicide. And we walked with a group of friends here from Central Church called Team Daisy in honor of our daughter Chloe, who died by suicide 6 months ago this weekend. It was a group as well that gathered to remember and keep close to heart others who are experiencing that. Suicide is one of those pains that we don't like to talk about. But you know what? We must talk about it, even though it's difficult. And here's why. You know, the suicide rates in our nation are the highest, my friends, since 1942, up 33% over 18 years. Suicide is the 10th leading cause of death in the United States, over 47,000 a year. The second leading cause of death among young adults, youth even, age 10 to 34. We also know that the suicide rate is three times higher among young men than it is among young women. And it's known that more than 6,000 veterans take their life each year. You can go to the American Foundation for the Prevention of Suicide and learn a whole lot more about this. But I'm sharing this, my friends, because persons who consider suicide, persons who die by suicide, are really struggling with being compassionate toward themselves. Their pain, whatever form it exists, is just too great to carry on their own. Their losses too big to bear on their own, and hope gets diminished because of that. Most often, they're not setting out to hurt anybody else, but just to end the horrific pain that they're feeling. Of course, we know the collateral damage of all of this, too. Loved ones, friends, community are all affected by this pain, the loss, the grief, the guilt that comes with it. As I said, our daughter Chloe died from suicide 6 months ago. And Deb and I kind of want to tell you where we're at. You know, Deb and I have been working through this individually and together as a couple with our two other children also, working together with Michael's Place, which is a support group within this in our community, a support nonprofit. And that gives us an opportunity to attend a survivor's support group and to be with others who have gone through this. And of course, we have been blessed with many caring, good friends like you, who have not only come alongside us and asked, you know, how you doing and how can I help, but who have shared your own stories of how you've gone through this and how it's affected you. I will tell you that for myself, the temptation over these past 6 months has been to hang on to my grief tightly, because it feels like that is a way I can hang on to my daughter tightly also. But I am also learning to be more compassionate with myself. And for me, that means lessening that grip on grief so, you know, it can come and go as it needs to. I'm slowly forgiving myself for the things I felt I needed to forgive myself for, and allowing myself to begin to feel happy as well. The pain is there still, its pull, its demand is there still, but I no longer feel like I have to stay there. And the reason is because that voice of hope that comes every single day in our lives has never stopped calling into my life, demanding tension in its own way. And time and grace has made it easier to trust that voice. So what's your experience of the demand of pain? Are you as well able to hear that insistence of hope calling? Are you able to be compassionate to yourself and lean in hope's way? I want to say to you today that it is okay to hurt in your spirit. It's important to name that hurt, whatever it might be, to say, I have a right to hurt. But also to be able to say, I have a right to feel good again. And to move away from that pain as best as you can. And even though that pull is strong, that, again, the pull of life is stronger. And by leaning that way, trusting that way, we can come to places of hope and healing. I believe that was Jesus' message. You know, it's tempting to think of Jesus as someone who didn't hurt. Matter of fact, there was what we now call a heresy in the days of the early church, where there were those who said it only seemed that Jesus was human. It only seemed that he hurt and died on the cross. And their thinking was, well, it just doesn't make sense that a holy and perfect God would become human and hurt like us. But we know that's not the gospel. And we know that's not the witness of the scriptures or the life of Christ. Jesus suffered greatly in his life. And however we figure out that mystery of divine and human, we have to name that. You know, early on in the words of the Old Testament prophet, Jesus was called that one who was the suffering servant, the man of sorrows, acquainted, grief. And we say that because he knew some of the worst pain people can know. Think about it. He was rejected by his family, who called him crazy. He was criticized by would-be followers who said nothing good can come from Nazareth, hometown. He was rebuffed by the religious establishment, who labeled him a heretic. Rejected by the empire, who saw him as a traitor and killed by them, as well as the religious leaders, crucified. Called a sinner. A glutton, a drunkard, for hanging out with the average Joe and Jane. And in himself he carried the pain of the lost and lonely. He carried the oppression of those hurting. He mourned his cousin John's passing. He cried at the news of his friend Lazarus' death. He was misunderstood completely by those who were closest to him, his disciples. And again, in the end, he suffered that horrendous execution. And he felt abandoned by God. Jesus knew the pain that demands to be felt. But here's my question for us. Is he a model for how to handle that? Is he a model for how to work through that? Well, what we hear in his story is that he leaned into that pain. He did not run from it, but he leaned into it. He let it be what it was. He leaned into everything life threw at him, for that matter. The Apostle Paul said it this way, that though he was from God, he emptied himself of any notions of special treatment or rights, and he humbled himself. And he became obedient to God's way of love. And that in that humbling way, and in humbling himself, he was raised up by God. I think that's another way of saying that not only did Jesus know the hurt of being human, but he embraced that pain, he surrendered to that pain, and in doing so, he was able to transform it and turn it into power for compassion toward the world. And the message there is, so can we. Pain not only tells us that we're hurting, but it creates opportunities for something new to happen in our lives. A more open self, a more sensitive self, a more resilient self, compassionate self. And we see that in today's gospel reading. Now we're told in the verses before the text that Jesus has just learned about the death of his cousin John. That was that first line that Micah read, and you wondered, having heard about it, well, what did he just hear about? Well, that's what he just learned of, the death of his cousin John. We're talking about John the Baptist, right? The one we know every Advent, this child of Zechariah and Elizabeth. Cousin John was murdered by King Herod. And so he does what any one of us do when we're grieving, right? He steps away for a time, steps away from the busyness of everyday life, draws away so he can feel that hurt and sadness. But as he does, life finds him out, as it always does in the Gospels. The crowds locate Jesus, and then the next line we hear is, and he had compassion on them, and he healed their sick. And then comes the feeding of the 5,000. Now, I know many of us have listened to that story for years and years, but I wonder if we try to listen to it with this lens of compassion, if we might hear it in a fresh way today. So this story compares the compassion of Jesus to the compassion of the disciples and their take on the situation, if you will. Now, for the disciples, the situation's a logistical nightmare, right? It's late in the afternoon. People are hungry and thirsty. The children are getting whiny. There isn't a McDonald's for miles and miles, right? Jesus, send them on their way, you'd say. But the Lord wants to teach them something, that they have right there what they need to care and to make a difference. That in this community that has formed, that there's enough there to help their neighbor. The fish and loaves that get multiplied are, I think, powerful symbols of what happens when hurting people can lean into each other's pain, when hungry people lean into each other's hunger and find what they need together. And as such, I believe that story then is less about miracles, less about what God does for us, but, you know, what God does through us and how God uses us to create miracles through community. Think about it. It's nothing short of a miracle when people of different races and classes and social statuses and gender, you name it, sit down together there and peaceably have a meal. Sounds like the heavenly banquet, doesn't it? But here's Jesus' point. It's meant to happen now, and it can happen now. As hard as life can be, that there's a grace, God's grace, that helps us share and carry each other's pain. It's a grace, again, that transforms that into compassion through community. And the promise? More than enough to go around. And they had their fill, and they took home leftovers. There's more than enough pain in this world, more than enough pain in us, but there's also an abundance of grace to heal that pain, and it is found in powerful, powerful ways. I told you that a couple Saturdays ago, Deb and I walked in the Out of Darkness event, but what I didn't tell you is that I did not want to be there. that that hour before I went, I was becoming a wreck, and when I got there, I was a complete wreck. His tears were streaming down my eyes, and but then before I knew it, people started coming up to me. Friends, yeah, and even strangers, you know, and there were hugs, and there were stories, and there were recollections, sharing of what they had gone through as well. And all of a sudden, in the midst of that, we found healing in our brokenness. We found healing. And we recalled that we're not alone in our hurt, that there's grace for each of us, and that we can help each other heal that brokenness and find joy and hope together. We can get to a place we can't get alone. Now, if you're hurting today, it's okay. You've considered suicide. You need to know that God loves you and values your life, and so do others. That the pain doesn't last forever, that there's hope, there's help, that you're worth it. Ask for that help, you're worth it. There are those who will help you be compassionate toward yourself until you can claim that for yourself. You see, while pain is demanding, the greatest tragedy is if we let it squeeze out the Lord's compassion for us. And that's a compassion that goes deep, deep, deep to where we need love the most. So what's the takeaway today? Be compassionate to yourself. Love yourself as much as you love someone else. But also, my friends, be open in that to the person or the people that you're going to find in your life this week, whose pain will call out to you, will even demand from you some compassionate attention. Listen and help as you do. You can do. And if you wonder, can I be that person? Well, remember the gospel story today, that there is more than enough for you and them, because the risen Christ is in your midst. This is the gospel of our Lord. Amen.